All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We're your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult. You know what that means. We're back, just like that, to hang out with you on this wonderful Monday morning. Probably your drive to work. Maybe your drive home from work. I don't know. I don't know your schedule. Live your life. If you're new here, you're going to want to fast forward to about 5 minutes, between 5 and 6, because me and Kyle like to talk this little ditty. I mean, if you like to know ditty. If you like to listen to us talk, then hang out. If you want to get right to the meat of things, move on. That being said, check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you will find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a good time. It's a friendly cult. Everybody's cool. It's just an all-around good space to be. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got some details that you're going to want, and he's going to explain them to you in the best way possible.
I am, and I do. Show notes. Information is in there. But if you don't want to partake in that, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Shoot it over to the email. We'll get it, put it in the patent filing system, get it on the air. You'll be happy. We'll be happy. And that's all there is to it.
That's it.
That's it.
Send it. Easy as that. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of cool ways you can do it. One being the Patreon, where for $7 a month, you get extra episodes. You get these episodes dropping early. Also, these episodes with no ads in them. And you get casket breath jams. It's really a win. We also do some little merch goody things over there every once in a while where you get early access to merch, coupons, all sorts of good stuff. HollowSkyPodcast.com, you can find that merch. Go over there, buy a shirt, buy a hat, buy a sticker. It's cool. It's what all the cool kids are doing. Just try it out. You might like it. Also, share the show word of mouth. Just put it out there. Anywhere people are talking about weird stuff, throw our name in the hat. If you have other spooky high strangeness content creators that you like and you'd like to see us collab, throw our name out there. You know the drill. You can also go to wherever you find your favorite podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review. When I find them, I will gladly shout them out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Mackin hashtag. Mackin says paranormal. 5 stars. Y'all never disappoint and always crack me up. Higher Side Chats was one of the first conspiracy podcasts I started listening to years ago. When the episode dropped with Hollow Sky as a guest, it was super cool and fun to listen to. I love having Hollow Sky to look forward to every week. Thanks for being awesome. Well, Mackin, thank you for being awesome and taking the time out of your day to leave us some coolness, shout out to the Higher Side Chats for doing their thing. They've been running for a long time.
Yeah.
So they deserve their flowers 100%. And yeah, so do you for taking the time to leave us these kind words. We appreciate it and appreciate all of you. On that note, here we are.
We are here. We're way ahead of schedule on that one, too.
Did we burn through that?
Oh, yeah. 4 minutes.
Look at us streamlining the show.
Woo-hoo. So, I sat all week long trying to think about something to dig into. Friday gets here. I finally decide, you know what? I'm gonna try to hunt down some stories about witches. We haven't done too many witch stories. And it is a fascinating topic, in my opinion. And I'm like, all right, let's go full bore, see what we can't find out. It's also a topic that I would gladly sit down with women of witchcraft and have conversations with. I'd like to discuss both sides of that coin as well. You know, the good and the bad, the light and the dark. Because in the end, that's what Hollis Guy's here for. It's about the journey into the weird and trying to understand as much of this hidden world as we can.
I feel like it gets a bad rap from people that don't understand it and is very out of context.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree. I think a lot of it is stigma. A lot of it's fear. I'm sure there are.
Ignorance.
Yeah, ignorance. I'm sure there are bad apples, so to speak. But I mean, that's humanity.
Yeah.
So, but another reason why I really want to sit down with people we walk this life. Among other topics, I really enjoy what Steve and I do. I've sat and talked with Steve about this plenty of times. You know, we're essentially in how we're doing things. We're sharpening the sword with all of the research that we've done. We chose... Ironically enough, we chose the hard path with Hollis Guy. You know, we ourselves are sitting down and doing the research into these topics. We're forming our opinions. We're walking the path. But the internet is, in a roundabout way, not of late. Some of the episodes we found have been great, but it kind of gets a little boring from time to time. It's this constant back and forth. It's really hard to sit and find sites that are just kind of all in on these topics. You find a lot more anymore that are just kind of disproving everything.
It does get tedious.
Oh, it does. And it's just, you know, I'm looking for the all-in version of the story. That's what I want. I'll decide what comes out as not real or real in the end of it. But I do want to talk to people who walk the walk, man, who live this life. But with all that being said, I have two cases here. I wanted to dive into witchcraft. I fall into voodoo is what ends up happening.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with a woman by the name of Julia Brown. Born in 1845, Julia was a voodoo priestess who lived in New Orleans, which is some of the known heart in America for voodoo. In the 1860s, she moves to a small village of Frenier in the middle of Manchoc Swamp. The setting of the story is already essentially amazing because you think of the setting and you visualize voodoo to the fullest. This little village had no doctors. It was also a rather long trip to New Orleans from this little village. So Julia is sought after by all the locals to end up being the local healer because there's no doctors on site. Julia really takes to this idea. She even begins learning more about how to help people, which I admire this aspect of the story because I feel like 99% of the time you hear hoodoo, witchcraft, as me and Steve kind of just went over, we always attribute it to evil and fucking baby eaters.
Catches a bad rap.
It 100% does. Regardless, Julia would travel the village performing her rituals to help with all types of illnesses, cure infections, and even help with childbirth. Everyone that she helped would recover quickly. It didn't take long for the locals to be essentially 100% down with Julia and what she was able to do. They knew that what she was harnessing worked and was extremely powerful. Now, we move into a little bit of a heartbreaking portion of this story, not to mention the human condition of it as well. So Julia, at this point, through working with voodoo and healing people, taking care of people, she ends up being loved and respected by all the townsfolk. The problem was, and this is with so much of life, Julia began to feel taken advantage of. Because in fact, Julia was always, and I mean always, there for everyone in town. But it gets to a point where it's now expected of Julia to do these things. So she starts to, rightfully so, get a little bit bitter about things.
I get that.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a sucky spot to be in.
It really is.
Especially when you enjoy helping people.
Yeah.
And then it gets to a point where you just expected to do so.
Yeah. Right? You know, when you, the one thing you don't do and everybody's just pissed.
Yeah.
You know, fuck everything that you have done for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so according to some reports, Julie begins to kind of change her ways. I think she still ends up helping people, but she gets a little bit more bitter and she starts to scare the locals, predicting when bad things were going to happen. People were terrified at this point because they couldn't tell if she was foretelling the future or if she was placing a curse on them. Yeah. Right. So they all started to get really worried, and rightfully so. Not to mention, it's a very superstitious time in history. Which, if you remember the description of the town, it's extremely small. The town consisted of no more than reportedly at 350 people. I did see a report of up to 800. Still pretty small.
350 is about like this. Yeah,
yeah, it's small. You're also in the middle of a swamp. You're in a probably pretty isolated area. And it's hard traveling and a long travel to New Orleans. So at a certain point, you probably begin to feel as if you are a villager. You may start to feel trapped. Trapped in a small slice of world with this crazy voodoo lady. Who you've now pissed off. And could be trying to tank the town. It's not a very fun place to be in.
No. No. I feel like it's just a breeding ground for anxiety at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet everybody is losing their minds at this point.
Especially like having to try to differentiate as to whether or not she's warning us of things that are happening in the future or causing things that are happening in the future.
Yeah. And it, I think in the end, I don't know. It doesn't get answered. It actually doesn't. I feel like it kind of does, but it actually doesn't for the townsfolk. For us, it may be different, but we get to look from the outside in.
Mm. Hindsight.
On September 28th,
1915. Dang, that's Everett's birthday.
Oh, that's weird.
Not
1919.
Or 1915, but
that's weird. But Julia made her final and most terrifying prediction. And the visual of this is like core shattering. It's just, it's really amazing visual. She's sitting on her porch. You got the green swamp. You probably hear the frogs and the buzz making noises. And she's sitting on her porch with, I envision a rocking chair. And she was known for sitting out there with her little guitar and writing songs that she just like makes them up as she goes. And she starts singing, "When I die, I'll take the whole town with me. When I die, I'll take the whole town."
No wonder everybody was scared.
Everybody's real scared.
At first, when you started talking about, I had the visual, and I'm like, man, people are really, I feel like she's just really misunderstood. Yeah. People are really just not vibing, and she just wants to be left alone. Yeah. Just sit out there, big cypress trees, you know, moss hanging in them. She's just chilling. You just be floating through the swamp and hear her playing her guitar, and then you realize the words she's saying.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, here.
You're like, oh, shit, here Julia's pissed.
We go.
So, shortly after that, Julia ends up passing away.
R.I.P. Julia.
The townsfolk at this point were kind of just out of their minds because they knew that everything she predicted before has come to pass. So, the funeral happens. Everyone in the town gathers at her funeral. They even said people traveled from other small villages to be there because everybody had so much love and respect for Julia because she had done so much good. The funeral was held at her home. Her casket was placed in the customary wooden box that was placed on her front porch so everybody could come by and see her. Supposedly, as the story goes, as the nails were being driven into her casket, a devastating hurricane strikes.
Oh, what?
And I think I saw a report that said it was like a Cat 4 hurricane.
Ooh.
It left the town with two survivors.
Oh.
Everybody got smoked.
Oh.
Everybody got smoked. One of the guys who survived said, he's like, I witnessed waves just burying people.
This happened during the wake.
Yes. Yes.
That's a little unnecessary, Julia.
It absolutely levels the village. There's nothing left.
It's a little unnecessary.
All the homes are gone. Everything.
I get it. You felt slighted. But
oh, she smoked them.
That's a little excessive.
And from what I understand, the little village was like a on a little island at that.
Oh yeah. Just
so it gets leveled.
R.I.P. village.
On October 2nd, 1915, the New Orleans Times wrote an article about what had happened. They described the events and told of how many people went to Aunt, they called her Aunt Julia, that many people had gone to Aunt Julia's funeral. However, the hurricane hit and people abandoned her. Her corpse was actually later found.
Oh, God.
But people would go on to claim that they would see skeletons surface only to drift down the swamp.
That's ominous.
Yes. In the end, a lot of people knew Julia actually refused to believe that she would have cursed the towns. So they were just in utter denial. Like, no, she wasn't. She didn't curse the town. She was warning us of what was to come.
Which is understandable because she did a lot of good things for a lot of people.
But she also said, I'll take you with me. I'll take the town. Yeah, unless it was a direct reference to the funeral. You know, her passing and her death, her funeral, then the hurricane comes in and kills everybody.
That is kind of foretelling.
It is a little bit. I guess it just depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, if you take the maliciousness out of it, it's saying, when I die, everybody's going to go with me. Not, yep. I'm taking everybody with me necessarily,
yep.
But everybody's going to go with me. So
it could be. It depends on how it depends on how you look at it.
You know. Let's hope Julie was just still doing good. Yeah. I get it. She was exhausted. Everybody started taking advantage of her. Would she really take the whole town out? Probably.
I kind of like to think so.
Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah.
let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
You slided,
Julia, we're trying to give you the benefit of the doubt
you
here.
You slided the wrong woman.
Yeah.
Village.
Yeah.
Now look.
Yeah, because by all accounts, she was a great woman. It's just everybody took advantage of her.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's not a nice thing to do. You could at least made her dinner or something.
Yeah, I'd tell you to do better, but there
ain't
no village left.
Too late. Apparently, the only thing left on that island where Julia once called home is a big cemetery for everyone that they were able to find that had died that day.
Yeah, and a bunch of floating skeletons.
Yeah. Which, of course, people to this day claim that that location is extremely haunted.
I can see that. Yeah. A lot of trauma there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the end of Julia's story. It was a short, quick one. But I thought it was fascinating to... Especially when she got it, like I read the part where she was singing, "I'll take you all with me." And I'm like, this is ominous as fuck.
Yeah. You can almost like the way you painted the picture, you can almost hear it.
Yeah.
Cause I had my eyes closed when you were talking about it. And like I said, you just picture going through the cypress swamp and the bugs and the frogs are chirping. And you're kind of like, I'm traveling on like a canoe or some shit. And you just start hearing it echo through the swamp.
It's real soft at first.
Yeah, you can't quite make it out. You know it's a woman singing, and you're like, man, this is sus. And the closer you get, you start to make it out. You start to make it out, and you're like, oh, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened to me when I'm writing this episode. I just kept getting strong visuals, and it just kind of made me fall in love with the story more.
Yeah.
Because you see it, you feel it.
I love... Like, I have never been down there, but I love, like, there's a certain kind of romanticism about that whole area. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, New Orleans and all of that, the swamps and everything, I just want to go down there and experience it, like, one time.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of get the vibe of the culture and everything. Just experience it once, see how it is, and go from there.
Yeah.
Because I do. I feel like it's the only word I can use for it is like it from what I see, it's like an experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And this next one, this is the one I had so much fun with. And the visuals I get from when I was writing this section of it, man, it's like my mind eye transported me back in time to witness her life highlight reel. The imagery that pops in my brain is I can't even express how powerful. It was almost like whenever you and me were at the spirit convention and I found that tarot reader. Like, it had that much power when I'm reading about this lady.
That's wild.
It's crazy. So I'm sure a lot of you have heard of her. She is a prominent figure in New Orleans voodoo, and it's Mary Laveau. She is a very well-known practitioner of voodoo. They nicknamed her the Voodoo Queen. And I'm not going to lie, she lives up to that name.
That's a dope moniker.
Yeah. She, like, a lot of, supposedly one of the American Horror Stories depicts her, even though it depicts her disparagingly, like that she was a killer and stuff like that. It's not the case. But yes, the nickname is extremely gangster. It just makes her sound super cool. But she lived from 1794 to 1881, which, mind you, is amazing considering everything. She's still to this day is one of the biggest names in New Orleans when it comes to voodoo. At this point, as long as people keep sharing her legacy, she will essentially remain immortal. And it's crazy to think about how something as simple as being a hairdresser, healer, nurse, devout Catholic, and voodoo queen has led her to being remembered and spoken about for centuries.
It's pretty rad.
That's crazy when you sit down and think about it like that. I did find some pretty interesting information, though. It kind of goes off in some different avenues here, but I'm sure a lot of you caught that she was a devout Catholic. Kind of seems controversial, right? Catholicism, voodoo. However, apparently these two overlap, and they overlap for specific reasons. Catholicism actually had a hand in creating, so this is what I read, so please don't get your panties in a bunch.
Yeah, we're learning too.
Yes.
Hollow cult. Yes. So if you already know this stuff and you're thinking, these idiots.
Or if you have contrary evidence / beliefs that go against this, I'm just kind of doing my research here. And I found this extremely interesting. But apparently Catholicism had a hand in creating what we now know as New Orleans voodoo or Louisiana voodoo. Little history lesson. Africans who were brought here through slavery would practice religions of their homeland, which makes perfect sense. Most of the slave population came from West Africa and the Congo. So the more influential religions from these areas were the Yoruba religion and the West African Vodun religion. Both of these were different, but with all religions, they all kind of have commonalities between them. And that's what religions across the planet, right? We can almost find parallels in just about every religion. But with these religions in specific, they were animistic, which means they view inanimate objects like trees and rivers as having spirit or soul, which the natives did too. They also share common interest in ancestor worship, based on the immortality aspect or a continuation of life after death. They both also believe in a supreme divinity. It's Mau in Vodun and Oldemar in Yoruba religion. So in ways, they parallel Catholicism. Mau and Oldemar resemble God. The Catholic saints would resemble a form of ancestor worship as well. So once people from Africa begin to come in contact with the French and Spanish Catholicism in Louisiana, they begin to bridge the gap in diverse ways. It began to form, as all these religions are kind of mixing together, it begins to form its own spirits, angels, ancestor heroes. And it combined rituals from both traditions of Catholicism and these African religions, which I find super fascinating. And from all of that, reportedly, Louisiana voodoo is born. That is its conception. When all these things begin to melt together and the sharing of stories and concepts, I just find it fascinating that people, because a lot of religion can be interpretation. It's how you interpret the things that are written down throughout time. So finding variances and differences in the new angel, I don't find that to be out of the realm of possibility.
No.
You know, I think it makes sense, really. But I found that little snippet is super fascinating because I don't know a lot about Catholicism, even though I was raised in that aspect. I don't know anything about African religions or voodoo in itself. I just found it extremely fascinating that it was created in that area. But even more so with that, and in my opinion, it's kind of brilliant, the enslaved people on plantations were ordered to drop their religions and convert to Catholicism, which is kind of par of the course, as everyone knows. So a lot of these people begin to convert to voodoo instead because it held such close ties with Catholicism. And it would allow them to continue practicing their religions in plain sight, which I found to be brilliant, absolutely brilliant. As an example, enslaved Africans who were in need of assistance might have prayed to Papa Legba or Saint Peter. It really didn't matter that they belonged to two different traditions. Any spirit could be called upon at any moment.
That makes sense.
Voodoo, which I find compelling, heartwarming. Voodoo allowed everyone to have power of it. You didn't have to have status in order to communicate with these spirits like you do in Catholicism. Catholicism, you're essentially not, to my understanding.
Hey, Holocult. We are back and we are excited to announce our partnership with Mood.com. If you haven't heard of Mood.com, they sell federally legal weed, gummies, and everything you'd expect from a dispensary and ship it right to your front door. That's zero pants required. Seriously, you can get high quality, 100% federally legal cannabis products delivered right to your door without ever having to leave your couch. And you can get $30 off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. That's hollow. Mood partners with small American farms to bring you amazing high potency THC gummies, home baked goods, top shelf flower, vapes, and more. All third-party lab tested and backed by a 100-day guarantee. No dispensary lines, just clean, quality, 100% federally legal THC from their farms to your couch. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get $30 off their first order with code HOLO. So head to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our coupon code HOLO when you check out to save $30 on your first order.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
You can't just make contact with God or whomever. You have to go through other people to facilitate these things. And voodoo was for everyone, which I really love that concept.
Yeah.
On an odd note here, and I know this means nothing, but it definitely rings to mind in regards to Marie. I found a little bit about her heritage that I found very interesting. She was, and this name should ring true there to almost everyone, she was the daughter of a Charles Trudeau.
That sounds familiar.
That sounds familiar, right? And everyone knows that sounds familiar because of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. Well, my curiosity spikes at this moment, and I'm like, you know, I know this is probably crazy, but I'm going to go ahead and look into this anyways. So I start Googling some things, working the magic. Also to note, Charles Trudeau was a politician in his time.
Interesting.
So the 1800s, he's a politician. 1700s, actually. Whatever it was. And from what I'm digging around and was able to find out, Justin Trudeau is actually related to Marie Laveau.
Interesting.
Which is fucking crazy. Even more so that the lineage holds in politicians. That someone that far, you know what I'm saying? That
yeah.
He's now a politician. And the fact that he's related is crazy. It's absolutely crazy to me.
Man, I wonder if I have any voodoo priestesses in
I hope my so.
Bloodline.
I hope so.
That'd be sick.
It would be sick. But back to Marie. She was a valued healer, leader, and business owner within the eyes of her New Orleans community. Some people would describe her, and this is where my brain just, like, the visuals from here on out are just, they're so vivid. When people talked about her, when she walked the streets of New Orleans, she walked with the confidence of owning those streets. She really was a queen of voodoo. On top of that, they said she was beyond beautiful. She had the genetics of a third African, a third Native, and a third European. Men of that time were just instantly drawn to her because of her exotic looks. On top of that, she was extremely charismatic. She was a big go-getter. And as we've gone over, she had a large amount of confidence because being a community leader is not an easy thing to do. It also sounds like she was absolutely beloved by everyone. So she really was the voodoo queen, which once again takes my mind to this place of a woman who just owns it. Her power, beauty, compassion, allure. This woman literally had it all. And from what I've read, she wasn't afraid to use it either.
Big energy.
Dude, it's crazy. And like I said, the visual of her walking, like I visualize her walking through the streets and everybody wanting her attention. Yeah. And she just commands the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like she commands it like a queen would.
Yeah.
And what people from all over the world would go out of their way to make contact with Marie for long list of things. They would make their way over to 1020 to 1022 St. Anne Street and ask for spiritual favors, life advice, healing remedies, love spells, separation spells, helping a failing business, help in court. Her herbal healing was also promising, not to mention she was a hairstylist on top of all of that. She would be seen, and this visual is fucking awesome. She would be seen after every Sunday mass at Congo Square, dancing with snakes. The Congo Square was a little marketplace for African American culture. The people would gather, socialize, play music, engage in voodoo rituals, had little vendor areas. It's even said that this arguably is the birthplace of jazz music.
That's sick.
Yeah. And I found like a description of what her arrival at Congo Square was like. Every Sunday, like clockwork, she would show up to the beat of a drum, walking into the marketplace in a white dress with gold bracelets. She would call out three times, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. She would get to this particular spot. She would pull, from what I read, a large black snake out of a box. The snake would then contort around her. She would invoke the coming of spirits into her body, becoming entranced. She would have her moment, but soon everyone would join in with this dance. They would participate in the communion with the supernatural. Now, I know by that description alone, some people listening would probably call all types of bullshit. The thing is, I've been to something kind of similar. I've told this story before. I was at my wife's family reunion in Michigan. At a certain point, they begin to beat a drum and sing in their native tongue. And I bring that up because me, someone not exactly connected to any of that, felt the power of being there. Like I felt it in my insides when I was there. So imagine, put yourself as a bystander at Congo Square and you hear her drum start and you witness her walking into the area and she begins to dance in this very seductive, serpent-like manner, invoking the spirits, and then everyone begins to join in and partake in this experience, creating this atmosphere of most likely just raw power, I'd bet every dollar I have that that moment felt amazing for everyone involved. I feel like you would feel that in your soul and arguably almost feel possessed by the energy.
That's what I was going to repeat myself and just say big energy.
Yeah.
Big energy.
And it like that visual of her, I don't know, man, like it smacked me. Yeah. It smacked me.
The fact that she had such a reputation and built up so much rapport with everyone that people would travel from all over the place to work with her is awesome.
Yeah, it speaks volumes of who she was.
I also love that, like, it's a real thing. Like, that's reality.
Yeah.
Like, you could work with someone to essentially come up with a spell to better your life in whatever aspect you're missing out on, which is awesome. Fucking
I think it's awesome.
Amazing.
Of course, I found some evidence of naysayers, and I will present that. I'll present that. But no, I'm with you. Like, I think it's awesome that in a roundabout way, whether you wanted to believe it or not, or partake in this avenue of thinking, even dealing with Marie and voodoo, it still, in my opinion, falls in line with almost like a form of religion. You know, like even by her doing a voodoo ritual and giving you a bag and saying, hey, use this, you know, this will bring whatever, you know, it'll help your job. It'll help. It still takes a form of devotion and faith.
It's no different than having to say 10 Hail Marys.
Exactly. You know? Fucking exactly. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just all perception.
Yep.
When it comes down to it. But Marie's power was immense. There, of course, the rumor mill turns. They said she could make anyone do anything. According to some sources, she could literally make people lie on the ground and roll their bellies. She once walked right past police officers who were barring access to a ritual site. I found a story that claims as two inmates were about to be hung in front of a crowd, a sudden thunderstorm hit, which freed the men from the gallows. She was seen in the crowd of spectators walking away as, like, the thunderstorm rolls in, yeah. like a gangster would. I mean,
like a movie scene.
Yeah, yeah. Marie also had the ability to know everyone's secrets. She would use those secrets accordingly as well. Some people would claim she used voodoo to acquire these secrets. However, there is the logical side of this explanation where, because she was so loved, she had the ability to communicate with everyone in New Orleans. And what it was is, this is official explanation, mind you, the slaves who worked as housekeepers or worked within the homes were actually her little birds that would acquire secrets from these wealthy people. And then they would then give them to her and she would use those accordingly.
Meh.
I'm not with it either.
Meh.
Let
this woman be the queen of New Orleans.
That's what I'm saying, dog.
Let her have the powers.
That's 100% what I'm saying.
I'm with it.
I am too. I can see that as a possible explanation, but I feel like I'm with you.
That's a cop out to try to take away from the voodoo queen.
That's where I'm at. And that's a great way of putting that. To take away from her.
Yep. 100%.
The takeaway. It's just
people trying to downplay her. It's a classic example of people not wanting to see other people do cool things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It really is.
You've got this woman whose aura is just out of this world. She's loved by everybody, and you still got, and she essentially has these supernatural powers that are so substantial that people, you know, live by them, will travel hundreds of thousands of miles to access these, and you still got people trying to chop her down.
Yep.
Still like, no, that ain't how it is. That ain't how it is. She's got people telling her all this stuff. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I appreciated her because she worked with everyone. Like, it didn't matter who you were. She helped everyone. She ends up kind of making a deal here with a prominent Creole man who sought her help because his son had got himself in a bunch of trouble. He was on trial for murder. She ends up saving the son. She reportedly used a Grig, was it Grigri bag?
I don't know.
Under the judge's seat, which then influenced him in, I guess, acquitting the son. So because of that, the prominent white Creole dude was like, hey, a deal's a deal. Here's your house. And he gave her the house that she lived in on St. Ann Street. That's how she acquired the home. Most of her work, obviously, though, as a voodoo practitioner and a healer, was done in the privacy of everyone's homes. Marie was, by all accounts, a wonderful woman. She would take in people. She would take people in to her home. She adopted children. She paid for young children to go to school, even though she never went herself. The magic that she focused on, or the magic that is focused on most in New Orleans voodoo, is either white magic or black magic, and then you have these Grigri. I think that's how you say it. Now, Grigri comes from the French word gray. So essentially what they're saying is that she used a combination of white and black magic, and that these Grigri bags would essentially facilitate some of that magic and help people with their stuff. They were small sacks with various herbs and natural items within them, sometimes like hair, which you do hear a lot of that in regards to voodoo, but I've always known them called like hex bags, stuff like that. And they might be, that might be on the darker side of voodoo, you know, that the Grigri bag or whatever gets turned into a hex bag and now you're hexed.
Yeah. Or it could be another just case of ignorance where people
absolutely
put that moniker on it to kind of, you know, paint a bad light on something that they don't know anything about.
Oh, absolutely. Very well could be. June 15th, 1881, Marie would pass peacefully in her home. And as you can imagine, her funeral was crazy. People from all over and of all skin tones came to pay respect to this woman. Plot 367 of Galpion Family Crypt in St. Louis Cemetery, number 1 in New Orleans, is where she lay at rest. Her grave was a hot spot for a very long time for people delving into the paranormal. People would go there, and I find this process so fascinating. People would go there, draw an X on her grave with chalk, yell out a wish, turn around 3 times, kick the granite walls. If your wish was granted, you had to come back and circle the X. Of course, some asshole had to vandalize it.
Never fails.
And the archdiocese ends up restricting access to her gravesite.
Never fails.
It's crazy to me that after all this time, you know, after her death, there were still people, I guarantee, in today's time that make their way to her grave.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about New Orleans locals either. I'm talking people like you and me.
Yeah. That's what I thought there about when you were telling about where her crypt was. I'm like, we should go see it.
Oh, I'm down. I'm 100% down.
It's just like,
I am 100% fascinated by this woman and her story.
The big energy aspect of it. It reminds me, like, the thing that I connected to was our own little voodoo connection, Julie, when we met.
Who also is Catholic.
Yeah, when we met.
Or studied Catholicism, what have you. I don't want to put that on her because that's not my position or place.
Whenever the first time we did not know this woman from anyone. And we were at the metaphysical conference in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I had the doll, had Lucy sitting right next to me. And I remember looking over and Julie was just strolling up. And it was like this aura, this big energy. Mm-hmm. Like she strolled up, not a care in the world. Just wandering over. Didn't know her. She didn't know us. Strikes up a conversation. The first thing she said to me, she goes, "Hi, what's with the doll?"
Yeah, I remember that. Like,
all right.
I remember that.
And
we should get her on and talk sometime. Yeah, we really should.
I got her card somewhere. And I follow her on Facebook. I'll have to holler.
Yeah, you should. We should definitely get her on and have a conversation about all this shit.
Yeah. We saw her again at the one, was it not last year, but the year before?
Yeah.
We sat there and talked with her again. It's just so interesting and refreshing to pick a brain that's outside of my own, I guess.
Well, and she's a real one too. Like, she is very open to explaining things to you and helping you understand, not in a judgmental way. It's just, she's a really cool, great person.
And you just meet people that have that big energy.
Yeah. Like I said, the description of Marie here reminds me so much of the tarot reader that we encountered that time at the Spirit Convention.
Yeah, same place.
Like, it, I don't know, to a T, it just kind of reminds me of that whole encounter with her.
And it makes you wonder if these people with this energy are born with this, or if they take it on over time from the things that they study and the things that they learn. And as they are consuming all of this knowledge, it just kind of builds this like aura in them and around them. And it just, makes them larger than life.
From what I read, and specifically when it comes to voodoo, it's kind of one of them cases where the spirits choose you.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's what, with Marie, from what I read, she was chosen at a rather young age.
So no amount of reading is ever going to give me big energy.
Probably not.
Fuck.
Probably not. But that's not necessarily true, though, because what if by doing that, you're then
chosen.
You're put on a path to then be chosen in the end.
I've been chosen.
I feel like that's possible.
By a crazy legged entity.
It's also possible.
Possible.
I'm not gonna argue that it's not possible because I feel like it kind of is. But I don't know. I think there's. It's another thing. Like I said, I would love to sit down and talk with these types of people because there's so much misdirection when it comes to these topics that it's not fair. And I feel like if they were to come on our show, they would have the floor. I mean, we're not like that. I think that's what's great about you and me and the show in particular is that the description of the show is there. It's the truth. You're joining two friends on their journey through the paranormal, and by proxy, you are now partaking in the journey through the paranormal.
Yeah.
We are learning it. We came in with very limited knowledge, always been fascinated by the journey. Now we are consuming knowledge and learning as much as we can. And I feel like people that come on and decide to have that conversation, you're teaching us something. We're not here to judge you.
I think we're
here to learn.
Not a lot of people, but I think there are people that listen that forget that aspect of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
That we are also, you and I, are also fans of the paranormal and students of the paranormal. So we are constantly learning. Just because we research something doesn't mean we know everything about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whenever, I feel like that gets overlooked a lot, especially when people are being critical of us.
I think it's my favorite aspect of the show is the fact that
we don't know shit.
We don't know shit, which all I think makes for way funner conversation. But the fact that we're going through the journey and then we're allowing this large group of people to also join us
yes.
in said journey. I think that 100%. Is what makes us special.
Yeah. And I kind of set that up for whenever we have guests on the show, say like that, say if Julie were to come on, some for an aspect that I am so unfamiliar with, I become a listener at that point.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I am sucked into this, to the story. I'm sucked into the lore. I'm sucked into learning. Like, I am here for that. And that's again, like what you're saying is one of the best parts of the show. That
I think that's what sets us apart from everybody else. I think that, and it's kind of one of them gems where for a long time, I kind of wanted to keep it to myself and not point it out. So everybody doesn't just try to like jump on it yeah. and use it. Because to me, like, it's not a trope. It's not something that we did on purpose. It's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah. You can go through all our back catalog when we're talking about stuff or when we're interviewing people, and like, you can watch us actively, you know, that yeah. point of enlightenment where we're like, oh shit.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Which is exactly why the format of the show is the way that it is, where you research a topic that I have no fucking clue yeah. what you're even doing. Yeah. I'm doing the same, and then we present it to each other, and we always have that one person that has the real-time reaction.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like there's something to that.
Yeah, it's genuine. You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You can't fake that.
No, no, you really can't. You just can't.
It's a circle back around. We definitely need to get Julie on here. That way we can.
Yes.
Talk with her and just kind of like at that point, she's open mic.
Yep. I'm fascinated. I'm especially like learning the little bit about what we just did. Like, this is, you know, that's just scratching the surface of all of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But just learning that little bit that it was influenced by Catholicism, and it was all these different things put together and the so on and so forth. And the fact that, like, I cannot express much how much like respect I have for Marie and the type of person she was, that is the complete opposite of voodoo when you think of voodoo.
Yeah.
She's the complete opposite.
It's been painted in such a negative light, probably especially in the United States.
And that's what they said. They said that the slave owners and stuff of the area were terrified of it because they didn't know what any of it meant.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it is depicted with like scary masks and all this like skeletons and dark imagery, and that freaked a lot of people out.
And it's almost like its own form of rebellion.
Oh, you know 100%. I mean? Absolutely.
Like, we're not going to, you know, just take on what you want us to take on. We're gonna do what we need to do to keep our beliefs and our religions alive despite what you want us to do.
Yep.
And that's fucking awesome.
Yep, and I can...
The circumstances are terrible, but the fact that
yes,
you put it forward and held down is awesome.
Yeah, and that was another reason why they, like a lot of slaves on plantations, took up voodoo as well. For like a disconnect to their current situation, for protection for their current situation, the whole nine. Like, it runs the whole thing.
Yeah, it's essentially like... Like an act of defiance.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
And I don't know. And I find it humbling to learn some of these aspects to these stories. You know, I'm infatuated with it now. Like, I just, Marie's story, I just feel like I can't get enough of.
It is cool.
I think it's fucking awesome. I think it's even cooler that she used what you would call like the gray, the middle ground to the situation.
Yeah.
And she did use black and white because that's, to be fair, that's reality. That's life. Right.
Oh yeah.
We all do it. We all do it on a daily basis. We all make shitty decisions and we all do great things.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
And the fact that she was open about that, I'm in complete admiration over. I don't know. I just think that the whole thing is just awesome.
It is awesome.
you know, I just, I don't know. This spoke to me way more than I thought it was going to speak to me.
You should take note, Hollow Cult, of those people that you meet that have that aura.
Yes.
That big energy.
Yeah.
Take note. I can't explain it.
No.
You'll know it when it happens.
And I think
you'll
for
feel
me,
it, you'll know it when it happens.
For me, and I think, I'll be honest, I think that big energy can be subjective as well. Because for me, that tarot reader had the big energy.
Yeah.
And I think for you, Julie had the big energy.
Yeah. I do. I think it is. Subjective. But whenever it's almost in the same note, like you'll feel it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely.
And when you do, you need to put forth an effort to try to make some sort of contact.
Maybe have a conversation.
Yeah. Try to communicate a little bit because
you never know how it's going to play out.
Yeah. There's that big energy is there for a reason.
I agree. That's probably really solid advice. It really is. Because both of them were profound moments for us in our journey here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it was crazy.
It was definitely crazy.
It was a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
All around.
It's still one of the most impactful weekends we've had on the show, in my opinion.
And Julie still asks about the doll.
Yeah.
She's like, can you want to get rid of it? I wish I could remember the name of whatever that spirit was she had in the bottle that kept.
Me too.
All
I always forget.
In line, and when they put them together,
yeah. Well, didn't she say it was something like a Congo warrior or something like that?
Yeah, like sacrificed himself to be
a guardian almost.
Yeah, security in the.
It's fucking that in itself has a cool backstory.
Shit's so cool, so cool. Anyway, I could tangent there for like an hour. But, yeah, that was awesome. It does, like, I don't know. The whole thing just paints a picture in your head.
Doesn't it? I don't really have visuals. I mean, I'm a visual person, but this episode in particular, seeing all of it, you know, because, like, her house on St. Anne Street apparently is right next to Bourbon Street. Like, it's right there.
I do want to make it down there sometime just to
experience
a weekend.
I don't know, the visuals for this one were powerful.
But Hollow Cult, hope you all have a great week. Hope this kickstarted it off as best as we can. Check us out at all our socials, you know the drill. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and take note when you meet people with big energy, because they will probably have a profound effect on whatever's going on in your life at that moment, and probably beyond, actually. So, just take note.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.